You know, we talked a lot today about limitless love, right? And I think that I know at least the team here, we're trying so hard, and it's our prayer for you. Every time we get together and pray as a team, and then as we pray throughout the day on our own, that you just can come to a place where you can know, accept, believe, and go deeper in that love, that limitless love. Because it can just be words sometimes that just sound really good, and we really hope that they're true, but there's still that question mark in our heart, and we're just not quite sure. And, you know, I think that if we get to this place, because we see the world and what it offers us, and it's so easy for us to try to look for validation in the world, try to find our purpose in the world, our identity in the world. I mean, we live for likes and retweets and reposts, you name it, comments. We want to see what people will say about us. Do they love us? Do they like us? What are they saying? What are they sharing? And there's a part of that in the world that we become validated in it. And we can get lost in that. And we can soon find our identity more in the world than in Christ and in that limitless love that he offers us. It says a lot about us. How we live our life says a lot about who we love. And so how do we live our life? Does it reflect a limitless love that we are receiving from God? Or does it reflect this limited love of the world? And it's a daily question we should ask ourselves, because we can so easily get wrapped back up into the world, wrapped up into what the world wants for us versus what God wants for us and what he's called us to, which is something much greater than what the world could ever even offer. You know, I think as we talk about limitless love, the best expression, the best image of that is truly the crucifix. Limitless love, if you want to know what it looks like, here you go. Limitless love. How often do we just pass by this and not even nod or take a second look? We have them maybe hanging up in our homes. They're in our churches. And some of you, they're in your schools. And we pass by. Years ago, there was a group of people who didn't just pass by. They were there with him. And I think about the Blessed Mother and how she watched limitless love bleed. I can't imagine Mary ever looks at a crucifix and doesn't stop and think about that. And I think about my own life and how often I've walked past the crucifix, how often I've walked past limitless love, and I've just not even thought twice about it. But this is truly the image of what we're called to. We're called to love like this. We're called to accept this love. And sometimes it's harder even to accept it. But we're called to this place of limitless love, and limitless love looks like that. It looks like the crucifix. It is the crucifix. It is Christ on the cross. And we read about in Scripture of how that all took place. And what we do not read that Jesus was wrestled onto the cross. No. We don't read that when they went to go get him, he was hiding behind a tree. We don't read that after they scourged him, after they gave him the wood of the tree to carry all the way to Calvary, that when he got there, he was screaming and saying, "No, not me. No, I can't do this. It's too much. I've done enough." We don't read that. Jesus got down on his hands and his knees, bloody and bruised and broken. And he climbed on that tree, and he laid down, and he stretched out his hands. He gave his hands to those soldiers. He gave them so that they could put nails in them, that he could be fastened to a tree. He gave him his feet. He didn't pull back. He didn't rethink it. He gave of himself completely, freely, total. That's that limitless love. Just last month, I celebrated my 3-year wedding anniversary, and there's a picture I wanted to show you of that. Thank you. That's my Ricky. I love my Ricky. You'll notice in this picture that we're holding on to a crucifix. It was at this moment in the Mass where we were saying our vows. Ricky and I decided, we chose to say our vows while holding on to a crucifix. And you might think, well, that's a little grim. It's a celebration of a wedding. You're supposed to be happy, right? And trust me, we were. We also, praise God, were realistic too. We held on to that crucifix because we knew that we are imperfect. And we knew what has to keep us together is Jesus Christ. And we know that every prayer that's ever been said and answered is right there at the foot of the cross. We said our vows holding on to that crucifix because we knew that it was through Jesus that we would make it. It was through holding on to that redemption. And we wanted Christ to always be the center. That crucifix now hangs above our bed in our bedroom, where we go when we pray. We thank God for all of our blessings, and we ask him for all of the help, because we have crosses ourselves that we carry each and every day that are difficult and hard, and they sometimes seem absolutely impossible. But we know that if we unite them to Christ, that they'll have meaning, and in God's time will be answered in his way. And so I'm kind of happy that we have this picture of this moment where we have this crucifix and we're saying our vows to each other. Because it symbolizes that limitless love. As Ricky and I, who are very imperfect and have a limited life and limited love even, we want to hold on to the one thing that is limitless. The perfect man, Jesus Christ. Because Ricky will fail me, and I will fail Ricky. But what will not fail is Jesus. His love will never fail us. And if we keep his love in our marriage, his love in our lives, we know that we can make it. Whatever crosses you have, whatever broken hearts, anxieties, worries, concerns, self-doubt, you name it, whatever cross it is that you're dealing with, if we unite that to Jesus Christ, if we unite that to the cross of Christ, there is where we find our validation, our identity, our purpose. Our pain and our suffering begins to have meaning, and it is redeemed there at the cross of Christ. But it's a scary place to be, and sometimes we really don't want to do that. Now, I know in Scripture, this even talks about it too. There's a point in Scripture, actually at the time of when Jesus was crucified, I'm sure you remember this, where there was those two criminals, one on either side of Jesus, who were crucified along with him. And they have two very, very different responses. There is the one that ends up mocking Jesus, saying, hey, well, listen, if you're the Christ, then take yourself off this cross and save us too. Do something. Why don't you do something? That kind of sounds familiar. Have there been times when you've had so much pain or grief or frustration where you're just like, God, do something? I know I have at times. But then there's the other criminal, and that criminal says, and he ends up yelling at the first criminal, and he says, hey, listen, we deserve this. We are found guilty, and you know that we are. And then he looks at Jesus, and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom? In that statement, he acknowledges who Christ is, that he is the Savior. He acknowledges his guilt, and he says, Lord, I know I deserve this, but will you please just remember me? Just remember me. And what does Jesus tell him? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. We have an option as well to respond to Christ with his limitless love. And we can be like the first criminal who holds the fist up and says, do something. Do something. Or we can be the other guy, the other criminal who has the hands open in a sense and saying, just remember me. I need you. Remember me. We have that choice to do every single time. And I listen, when I talk about crosses in our life, I know I have crosses of my own. This isn't just words I'm saying. I have a life of crosses. Trust me. We all do. I remember this one time that I'd like to share with you. I actually don't share this story very often, but it is a true heavy cross that I've carried, and I'd like to share with you now. I was 12 years old, and something happened to my family that was definitely unexpected. You always think it happens to somebody else, or you hear it on the news, and then when it happens to you, you kind of have a very big reality check. I was 12 years old when my grandpa, right after Christmas, someone had broken into his house, and through a very long story, what ended up happening is they gathered all the people in my grandpa's house, and they tied him up, and they pulled out a shotgun, and they were going to steal from my grandfather, and then they were going to execute everyone. My grandpa, knowing what was happening, realized he had to do something, so he gets up to fight this man, and he lunges for him, and this man pulls back with his gun, and he shoots him, and he kills him. When my grandpa was murdered, when we first got the news, and pretty soon after it happened, actually, one, it was the first time that I realized that evil really existed. And that's a huge blow, you know? And you're like, wow, like, people really do bad things sometimes. But the very first thing that my parents did, I mean, the very first thing that they did, is they gathered all of us kids in the car. And they loaded us up in the station wagon. They drove us to our church in Oklahoma. And we went to the 6 o'clock morning mass. The first thing my parents did was take us to church. And I mean, we were just kids. We didn't know what was going on in terms of like why we were going to church. And I mean, we knew what had happened, that my grandfather had been murdered and was killed. But everything was just a blur, and so we get there, and I'm just kind of going through the motions, and I'm going to Mass, this daily Mass, and I remember so confused and angry, so angry, and like many of us, I was extremely close to my grandpa, and I love him so much. And I remember going and receiving communion and coming back around to my pew and kneeling down, and we were in the front row, and I was staring up at the crucifix, and this anger started welling up inside me, And that cross that I was carrying from this grief started weighing extremely heavy on my heart. And I just got mad and I was like, why would you let this happen? Why didn't you step in and make sure that my grandpa didn't get killed? Why didn't you do something, God? Why didn't you do something? Why did you have to let him die? I was so angry, and I was so hurt. And I just sat there, though, and I began to look closer and closer at that crucifix. And I began to have like a little bit of peace, and I realized, oh, I get it. Jesus was killed. And God the Father knows my pain. That I'm not alone. That God understands how I feel in losing someone. And when you wish somebody would step up and do something different and nobody does, and nobody does the right thing, God understands. And thankfully, that anger began to subside, and I began to just feel peace. Now, my grief didn't go away. My suffering didn't go away. But it had meaning now. And I was able to unite that to the cross of Christ, and I didn't feel alone, at least. And I think a lot of times when we have these crosses in our life and we're carrying them with us, One of the ways that Satan likes to get at us is he wants to isolate us in our crosses. He wants to isolate you and make you feel like you're the only one dealing with this. Nobody else cares. Nobody else will help you. You are on your own. God should help you, and he's not helping you. That's what Satan says to us. But God says, no. I am here for you. I'm here for you in such a way that I've given you everything I've got. I've given you my only son. And he's there waiting for you to unite your cross to his so that it can be redeemed, so that you can be made new, even in your grief and even in your sorrow. There's this, my husband, Ricky, he was in the Army, and he was a Green Beret, a Special Forces medic. I have a picture here I was going to show you with it. That's my guy. And, yeah. Ricky and I met while he was in the Army, and he had two deployments that he took. And in Iraq, and so this is during one of them. And I was asking him some questions after he got back from his second deployment, and it was a heart-to-heart. It was a serious conversation. And I said, Ricky, you know, what was it like in war? What was it like in those firefights that you were in? And he and his team went on a lot of missions. And he was very honest, and he just said, you know, Leah, when you're in a battle and when you're at war, he goes, when I was at war and we are fighting and there are bullets whizzing past my head, I fight for my buddy next to me. I will fight and I will die so that he can at least go home. I know people think that we fight for the flag or we fight for the Statue of Liberty. And it's true that we represent these beautiful ideals of freedom, but I fight for the buddy next to me. I fight for the man next to me. And when he said that to me, it made me realize that, you know what? I know another guy who fights for us. He fights for you. Jesus didn't die for a building. He didn't die for a conference. He died for you. He fought and he died for you. Our identity is here. Anything we need, it's been done right here. At the end of our life, only three things will really matter. Three words will matter. Father, child, love. Will you be brave enough to be so childlike to run to the Father who has poured out his limitless love in his Son, Jesus Christ? I pray to God that you will be. That you will come to a place to know that you're worth it. That you are worth Christ on the cross. That he is our everything. No matter what you go through, no matter what you battle, here you find your meaning. Here you find your purpose. You find everything with Christ. Later on this evening, we're going to be adoring Christ. We're going to have a chance to bring those crosses that we carry that hurt so bad, and you will be able to look upon the man who gave you everything. His limitless love deserves a response. And sometimes that response is just being, is just being receptive and being open and giving him permission to love you and permission to change you. Amen. Amen. My prayer for you is that you can come to a place where we do not walk past those crucifixes without a second glance. When we see Christ on the cross, we see our hope, we see our salvation, we see our redemption, we see who we were called to be, to love selflessly and to accept his selfless love without any limits.